Well, let me tell you that I say thank you for coming tonight. God bless every one of you. What a joy to see you here. And it's, Pastor's always an honor to stand in this pulpit behind you and others. And last Sunday, if you hadn't heard that message, you need to go online and listen to it. And then the Wednesday night prior to that, Brother Larry knocked a home run. We still hunting the ball. But anyway, it was beautiful, wonderful, incredible word, and so eternally grateful. And good to have some of our, Jen and I are privileged to meet with a group of believers around town from different fellowships on Tuesday night. There's about 50 of them, and we do a little Bible study with them at Christ Methodist downtown. Some of them are here that we've learned to love, and we're so honored that they're here tonight. Pray that the Lord will bless you while you're here. Amen. Amen. Give them a big God bless you. These are wonderful folks. They're the kind of folks that, if the church ever had to go underground, there's some folks you don't want to go with. They're not that. You want to go with folks like that. So anyway, but again, thank you for being here tonight. It's my honor, and I just want to. You know, sometimes God gets you on a track, and you just have to follow that out till the Lord puts the amen to it. And some of the things I'll be sharing tonight, I shared last night at the Bible study, and please forgive me, and I know you will. So anyway. So, Father, thank you tonight for every precious individual here. I believe you have something you want to say to us. And I know, Lord, it'll be full of grace and mercy and kindness, that it'll have wisdom, revelation, understanding. So, Lord, we present ourselves to be used of you, and we present ourselves to hear from you. And when the amen has been said, Lord, we want to leave tonight going, isn't God good? In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bible and turn with me over to Mark chapter 9. I probably won't get finished, but I'll quit. I promise. Anyway, I see the clock. So, but there's something on my heart tonight. I want to talk to you about faith to live by. I mean, would you agree with me tonight that we all live what we believe? And if we aren't careful, we try to live what we don't believe. But what we do believe, that's what we live. And so I'm going to look at that tonight, because when I look at the subject of faith, because it's the core issue of our relationship with the Lord. It's not connected to our five senses. You don't have faith based on your five senses. It's in another dimension. And when you talk about faith, you talk about, there's two dimensions of that. There's the gift of faith, and that is a God thing. God, in his own sovereignty, can impart a gift, because the gifts are up to God. And I've heard of many people, and I suppose in my own life a time or two, I've known very clearly that this was a gift of faith. But you don't live by that gift of faith. That comes and goes. But general faith is what we live by. And so the scripture, and don't turn there, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay? And I mentioned last night that the reason we don't walk by sight is, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4:18, because anything you can see is subject to change. But faith isn't. And you know, faith is rooted in the authority of God and his word. So when we look at that tonight, we're going to talk about general faith, not the gift of faith. And we find something in this ninth chapter of Mark. And I, rather than read the whole story of the boy that had the mute spirit, I'll key in on two or three verses, okay? Let me start in verse 14, goes down to verse 29. You know the story well. here's a man and his son. The son has a mute spirit, has a demon, And he comes to the disciples, and they try to cast him out and can't cast him out. So Jesus is coming back to where his disciples are and sees this crowd of people around and begins to question what's going on. Well, I mean, they say, well, the Father said, I brought my son to your disciples to cast out the spirit. They couldn't cast him out. And so Jesus now gets involved, and so in verse 21, he asks the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from his childhood. And next verse, and often he's even thrown himself into the fire, into the water, to destroy himself. But if you can do anything, watch what the Father said. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now look at the next verse, and that's our key verse. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And listen to the next one. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I can feel that when I read that. I feel something in my spirit. But let's go back for just a minute and look at that 23rd verse. Jesus said in response to the Father and the need of the Son, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, I didn't say that. He did. He said, let me read it again. If you can believe, if he said that, and he did, that means there are possibilities I've not yet reached. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And here's this father looking at his son's Lord. He said, I believe. And I think there's a tenderness in this. Help my unbelief. So let me tell you what I want to talk about. Three questions, and I may get through one of them anyway. First of all, I want us to really key in on trying to define in our life, what is faith? Second thing, how does faith come? Third thing, how does faith work? And those three questions, and I will say nothing that you don't already know tonight, but I want you to look at it with me and let God answer it for himself. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we'll do a lot of looking at verse 1, 2, 3 in Hebrews 11 and trying to define the first question. So what is faith? First of all, it is good to know the difference between hope and faith. Hope is good. The Bible said, without hope, we'd be among men, most miserable. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But hope and faith are not the same. Hope is always future. Always. Faith is always now. I'll prove it to you. And then in that text that we're going to look at here, look at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, what faith does to hope is it defines it in present tense and undergirds it. Now faith is. I mean, no, it didn't say it. Now faith was, or now faith's going to be, or any of that. It says now faith is, always is. Faith always is. How many of you know you can't believe God in the morning? Because when you get there, it'll be now. You know, faith is always now. You can't get saved. You can't get married unless you is. I mean, faith is the same way. When God's operating faith in our life, it comes down to a yes. It's a now. So faith is now. And then the Bible says faith is a present tense, but it's the substance of things hoped for. Faith now puts substance to my hope. And I know you can get a lot of definitions, but the word substance is a present reality with a God foundation. How many of you know that God can't lie? Some people say he won't lie. No, he can't. God can't lie. It's not in his being. And so when I look at that, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. I love the word evidence. The word evidence is evidence of the unseen. You can't see faith. You can't see wind. You ever notice? You go, boy, it's a windy day. How you know that? Do you see it? Mm-mm. I see what it's doing. You know? I mean, I had that. I think I've told you that here some time ago. I had that experience. I walked out of the garage when they going to my old work truck. And somewhere, when I stepped out of the garage, I stepped into another dimension. I can't describe it. I don't know why. I wasn't trying to be spiritual. I wasn't fasting and praying. I stepped into another dimension. All of a sudden, I knew I was in another dimension. I was still at the same place. I was still in the driveway, but everything was different in that everything was perfect. The wind was hitting my face. It was beautiful. I could see the clouds that were beautiful. I could see the wind blowing the trees. It was beautiful. Everything was just beautiful. It was just, and peace was more than I could put in words. And so I'm enjoying this, and I don't know what's going on, but I've never been where I am now. I never have before. I never have since. But I know that other realm, at least one time in my life before I get to heaven, I can say I touched it. And let me just say this to you. If you ever do, you'll know why those that do touch it don't want to come back. Everything you ever wanted is in that dimension. Everything that's imperfect here is perfect there. And so Paul said, what is faith? It is the evidence of what? Of the unseen. When I look at a word like evidence, I go, where else did God use evidence to describe to us what he meant when he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, I found it. In that scripture that we all know in 2 Timothy 3:16. Let me read it to you. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. In other words, that word reproof is the same word for evidence. Same word. So what you in your faith tonight, your faith in God, guess what? It has a foundation of the authority and the power of God himself. It cannot fail. Now, boy, I tell you what, Sunday, you know, you go through the fire. But, you know, somebody said it like this. Paul said it, let's fight the fight of faith. There's only one fight we fight. It's the fight of faith. And I said this the other day. I like what one fellow said. Here's how you need to fight. Like you're the third monkey on the way to the ark and it's beginning to rain. And you know, that's a fight. So that ought to be our fight of faith. Every one of us has one major fight. It's the fight of faith. As long as you've got the faith and you're walking in it, the devil cannot overcome your faith because the foundation of it is God himself. And so here it is. And then the next verse it says, and the elders obtained a good testimony. Wow, I like that. And then the next verse he says, by faith we can believe that the world was created by the word of God. And when I look at that, so that the things which are seen are they're here, but one time they were nowhere, but they were created by the word of God. And look at the third verse. Let me read it. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The word there is the word rhema, the quickened spoken word of God. Hallelujah. You know, just to talk about faith gets you fired up, doesn't it? I mean, dear Lord, we're sitting here on earth. We don't belong here. We're just passing through. And we walk by faith and not by sight. So we're not moved by every... We cannot deny what we see. Now listen to me. But you can deny its right to rule you because of the faith inside of you bigger than what you can see. Come on now. I mean, you've heard our story. I mean, I'm in the hospital in Centennial in Nashville, and I've just gone through a colonoscopy. You can go through the tribulation if you can get through a colonoscopy once. Anyway, but I've just gone through a colonoscopy. This young kid, this doctor, he looked like a kid. Look, I just got out of high school. And I didn't know who did it. So I'm kind of recovering from all of that. And I'm laying in. He comes up to me and looks down at me. I said, remember. And he was mad. He actually was mad. You know what I thought? Anybody that ought to be mad, it ought to be me. He looked down at me and said, you should have been here 10 years ago. Well, I wasn't. I never had one of these before. He said, you should have had one of these 10 years ago. Well, I didn't. He said, I found a mass inside of you I can't do anything with. It's so large, I can't touch it. You'll have to get a surgeon. You can go from there. So we did. Got a surgeon, same centennial. But listen to me. We're talking about faith. So what kind of word do you get from God, Brother Doug? I didn't have a word, but I had peace in my heart. But my sweetie, I'm telling you, she's a prayer. She got in the word, and she got a quicken, rhema, alive word. She got it. I didn't get it. I remember the day they, in the hospital, some of our church folks were there, and family was there, and of course June was there, and they whittled me down the, it's a funny thing. You're going down on a gurney, you don't know what they're going to do to you. He said, it'd be 2 or 3 hours, and we don't know what we're going to have to do. Well, I didn't know, but I had peace. But in 30 minutes, he's back in the waiting room, the surgeon. Wouldn't you think he probably came in and would come in and go, Michelle, I'm sorry, we lost him. 25 minutes in, he comes in, June said, shakes hands with everybody in the lobby. This is the surgeon. He's not the pastor. And he comes over to June like this, and he goes, we can't find it. It's gone. Come on now. I'm telling you, this is what happened. It's gone. And our Dr. McRae, our cardiologist up there, said, Doc, we take pictures. We have a picture. Here it is. And we have another picture over here. Here it isn't. He said, I was in Kentucky at a medical convention, and they asked the question, anybody here ever seen a miracle? Dr. McRae said, I have. Now, I tell you all of that, and I know you've heard that. I tell you all of that because this woman sitting right here got a rhema quicken word of the Logos from God, and she camped out on it for her husband, and I'm here because of it. Praise God. Aren't you glad that can happen to you too? So it's the evidence of things hoped for. I mean, dear Lord, here's the word he said, for the whole world was framed by the rhema, quicken, alive word of God. Now, with that in mind, let me go somewhere else with you. And you don't have to believe some of the things I'm about to say to go to heaven, but this is what I believe. I want you to go over into Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 is, and I love the way Pastor does, he does this all the time, and I love it. He always taking us back into Genesis, and I love that because that's where you start. I mean, how many are going to play baseball? You can't start at third base. So when I look at this, look at verse 1 of Genesis chapter, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the word Elohim is the word plural. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We know that. Now look at this. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the God moved over the face of the waters. What? Here it is. God just said to us, here it is, but it's all in a mess. And guess what? Something started to happen in creation now. Now, come on now. I wasn't there, and neither were you. But here's this glob of earth, if you will, stuck. Do you ever see a picture of earth? Come on now. I want you to think of it. Earth is just stuck out here. It's not sitting on nothing. It don't have a stool to sit on. It's sitting out here in nothing. See, everything around here, I got my Bible, I got some. We got some out there. There's nothing I can see. What's it sitting on? I can tell you what it's sitting on. The full authority of the eternal word of God, that it will stay exactly where it's going to be, doing what it's supposed to be, because the throne is occupied, Jesus Christ is Lord, and God Almighty started the whole process. So, I mean, when you look at that, you go, glory to God. And so here's God giving us a glimpse of the glob. It was a chaotic mess. I mean, there was, with God there was light, but where earth was, there was nothing but darkness. There was nothing. There was no light. And God did something. Excuse me for getting excited about this. You know what he did? He said something. It says it right here. Verse 3, then God said. You know what he did? God, who is light, an eternal word, logos, God did something. You know what he said? Light be. And you know, light was. Because I found out that what God released when he said, light be, the scripture says he released a rhema word into this darkness and divided the darkness from the light, because he is light. Now, why in the world would he introduce light now? This is day one, and it wasn't until day four that the sun, the moon, and all of the other planets out there that bear the light. Why? It's because he released himself by revelation. Now, watch this. Light is revelation. Light is energy and life. How many of you know, and you know what I get all fired up about is darkness has no power. You know what darkness has? Deception. Do you know what light is? Light has energy and life. You've never seen a ray of darkness. But you'll see a ray of light that has power and authority. So when I look at Father saying, light be, because everything, the Bible says it was without form, it was void, there was darkness over the face of the deep, and God did something, he talked. He said, be. God released a rhema, quicken, alive word into this thing called universe that we have now. And when he did that, you know what happened? Everything starts coming into order. I mean, golly, I love it. Elohim said, and you know, I looked up the word said, and you know, I don't speak English that well, so you can imagine what I do with Hebrew and Greek. But the word for said is the word or. O-R. I don't know. I'll let you pronounce it. O-R. You know what it means? Light. When God said, and light came forth. Revelation. Revelation and light and energy and life came forth out of the Logos, created everything that we enjoy, look at today. That's the God we serve, and we get to call him Father. So when I look at that, I go, oh, my goodness, Lord. You brought order and life, and you brought revelation. You brought divine order. And then, fast forward. Then here's this old boy. He's mad as the dickens. That's a country term. He's mad as the dickens. He's killing people because they're Christian. And he's on his way to Damascus. He's on his way to Damascus. And guess what? God knocked him off his donkey. And he's in the dust of the earth. And a light knocked him off the donkey. And while he's down there, he said, is that you, Lord? And Jesus said, this is me whom you're persecuting. Isn't it amazing that the light in the beginning knocked the same old boy off the donkey and changed his life? That light is revelatory. That light is life. That life is order. And it comes by making real to us what the darkness has tried to hide from us. That's where faith is. When the light comes. Have you never, and I know you have, have you never been reading scripture and you've read it 20 times? All of a sudden, it comes from the page into the heart. And all of a sudden, you can't describe. But there's something just happened. What happened? Well, there's two words, and you would know this. There's two words. There, and when you read the New Testament for word, you have the word logos. In the beginning, this is John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. You know that. All of that is the logos. He was in the beginning with God. Okay, he is Jesus, obviously. And we got the Holy Spirit brooding, what the Father's talking, and everything came into being through the Word. Everything came into being through the Word. It says it in Colossians. Nothing came into being that came into being that didn't come into being through the Word. Okay? So when I look at this and I understand that over here is this eternal Word, eternal God himself, that when he by the Spirit quickens what comes out of him into my heart, it becomes a spoken, alive, creative word. Now listen to me, and has the same power and authority it had over here when he said it, because when he said it to you, you can transfer it on. Can I tell you, that's what happened to her when she got that word. Now, that doctor didn't know that, and I didn't know that, but God knew that. When that doctor went in there to try to find it, he can't find it. Guess what? I think God said, I knew it all along. Aren't you glad faith can say yes to what darkness does not tell you is true? So we walk by faith and not by sight. So when I look at rhema, I love that word. I want to do two or three things real quick. First of all, where does faith come from? Romans 10:17. I can tell you where it comes from. How many of you know it? Faith does not operate between your ears. Faith operates out of your heart. Let me give you the scripture. Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing. And actually, the original language would say it more like this. So faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the rhema, the quickened, spoken word of God. What does it create? Faith. The ability to believe what I cannot see, taste, touch. It comes when God has quickened that word to my heart. I can believe it. I can walk in it. And once it lightens my heart, my mouth starts agreeing with it. Romans 10. Come on now. We homologia. We agree with God. We confess with our mouth what? That the word is true. Once we get in agreement with God, then we step into what God. Let me back up. Did you know when you get a rhema word from God and you believe it, here's the good part. It will do exactly what you believed. Good gracious alive. I know I've told you this, but this is kind of funny. June and I, for years, used to go over to a place called Crow Mountain, get apples. I mean, we love apples, and over near Scottsboro. And I don't know, a number of you, we're going to get some for Pastor and four or five people want apples. So we're getting ready to go that morning, and I heard the Lord, why don't you just buy their apples? I got a rhema word. Okay? I don't know what he means. He said, why don't you buy their apples? I said, okay. Now, she don't know this, but downstairs in a little office I got down there, one of the desk drawers, in a little bank bag, I'd been saving money. I had four $100 bills. She didn't know that. She told me, she said, I didn't know that. So anyway, so I knew I had them down there, so I went down there and got me one of those $100 bills. So we go to Crow Mountain. And we get all these people that want apples, and they're all sitting on the counter. We got, I don't know, five, six bags of apples. And guess what? The lady adds it all up, and she said, sir, that would be $100. Not $101, not $98, $100. So I get my $100 bill. So we came back, and I don't know, two or three days later, I'm back down in the office there and decided I'd just open up the drawer. Now, you ain't, I believe this. I stand before the Lord. So I open up the drawer, and I was up my bag, and I just unzipped it, and I looked. Good Lord. One. Now, I had three left. Two. Three. Four. five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. By that time, I was shouting. No. You go, I don't believe it. You don't have to. I counted them. What I'm telling you, when you step into, come on now, when you step into a quickened rhema, alive word that God's given you, you step in, you believe that, and you step into it, and it begins to create in you. It's amazing. I mean, I didn't ask God to give me that money back. I don't know. I asked her, I said, you put that money down there? She said, I didn't know you had any. Now that she knows, I've spent it all anyway. No, I didn't. But anyway, do you understand what God's creative word is? Creative. It's energy. It's power. It's light. It's life. It's God's looking for a people to believe Him, and when we can believe what He said and release it from our heart and our mouth and walk in it, God does things with people and in the world we live. Hallelujah. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And let me go a little further with you. You know this. In Luke chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. Jesus says I read too many scriptures anyway, but I don't want to confuse anybody. In Luke chapter 1, Gabriel shows up to a little virgin and said, you're going to have a child. You got to be kidding. I don't know a man. But the natural process, this is not going to happen. And then through that conversation with an angel, Mary said, well, okay, let it be unto me according to your rhema word. Jesus got here with a rhema word. And then John 6:63, guess what? This rhema Jesus is walking around on planet Earth, who is the embodiment of the Logos. And guess what? In John 6:63, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are rhema. When I tell it to you, listen to me, the dead get up, the blind see, the lame walk. That's the rhema quickened word. Remember that passage over, is it Luke 5? You know, Peter was a fisherman. He was a professional fisherman, and he had people around him who were, but they'd been fishing all day. I can see this. I've done it many times. Been fishing all day and caught nothing. Nothing. Guess what? Jesus shows up. Now, let me put it in Lauderdale language. How you both doing? We're not doing. We ain't caught nothing all day. But Peter says, you know, Jesus, I know how to fish. You know how to do that Messiah thing, but I'm the fisherman. Now, not just like that, but something like that. Peter said, you know, Peter was always that kind of guy, and I honor that. But, and Jesus said, Peter, let me give you a word. Cast your net on the other side. Come on now. And then Peter said, well, let me tell you what. I know how to fish. Nevertheless, at your rhema, I'll do it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine old Peter when he go, good Lord, look at all of this. Had I known it worked like this, I'd have been walking in this a long time ago. When you get a word from God that's been quickened by the Spirit of God, that's based on the Word of God, camp out. Drive you up a stake. Don't let hell, high water, drive you from what you now have believed. Amen. Give you one more personal story. Anyway, so June comes home that day. It's another physical thing, and she had been to the doctor, and the doctor says, Michelle, you have cancer, the worst kind, stage 4. What was it? Most aggressive. Okay, I'm sorry. Most aggressive you can have. I said, okay. So obviously we felt like we've been gut punched, and so we start praying. I mean, you know, just doing our thing, and sometime during the course of the day, we sat down and I said, what's he saying to you? This is what she said. She said, he told me, I'll see you through this. I start to cry. Because he just told me the same thing. I'll see you through this. So now my wife and I have a rhema word. I'll see you through this. That's all we had. I would rather have had, well, bless God, she's going to be healed in the morning. I mean, I would have preferred that. I'll take that. I'll see you through this. There were lots of people who loved us, loved God, you know, had all kinds of advice for us, and that was good. But we never moved. Every time, you know, you need to, when you know, well, that's not what he said to us. Before she finished all of her treatments, the doctor came and said, Michelle, you don't have any cancer. Don't tell me it don't work. It works. Aren't you glad it works? You go, well, I know some people that I'm telling, I don't have all the answers, but all I know is this. God has enabled by his love and grace and word and spirit us to walk in faith that releases himself and his potential and possibilities in all our lives. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not near finished, but I'm going to. Let me end by telling you how faith works. I'm going to give it to you in about 5 points here. Bum, bum, so hang on, all right? Here we go. Here's how faith works. Faith creates trust. So you may not have a specific rhema, but if you've learned to trust, you're still in that embodiment of trust. You know, what did they say over in the Old Testament? And, you know, I will trust the Lord. I will lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways I will acknowledge him, and he will direct my path. You can trust the Lord. When I don't have a word, I can trust the Lord. I've said it many times, and so have you. Well, Lord, I don't have a word on this one, but I trust you. So faith creates, listen to me, trust. Trust creates obedience. Obedience creates action. Action creates manifestation. Manifestation creates lifestyle. Well, we walk by faith, not by sight. And lifestyle creates transformation. By the renewing of your mind, you will be transformed. I mean, you know that the Bible says, and it's a verb, we are being transformed. That's, to me, that's faith to live by. It's not complicated. It's just God, who loves us so dearly, gave us a book, said, read it. And when you read it, listen to me, ask me to make it real to you. If I had time, we'd spend another 45 minutes there. Well, let me tell you something. When you read this book, you have a promise that you can drive up a stake in John 16. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come. Would you agree he's come? When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you, teach you, and reveal to you everything that I've said to you. That's a promise. And as you say, well, I don't understand, pray that promise. John 16, Lord, you said you would guide me. You would reveal it to me. You would show me. You said the Father turned it all over to you. Hallelujah. And you live in me. So therefore, Lord, I don't get it now, but I'll get it later because I'm going to get it because you said I could have it. And once you get that quickened word, you get that word. My goodness. You get it like that. You go, glory to God. I agree. That's true. I'm going to give you one more thing. I know I've told you this, but I love this little story. Brother Jim Webster, whom they know very dearly, Brother Jim Webster, it happened in his church. He's in heaven now, he and his wife, Dean. However, Jim told me the story. He said, an older couple in my church had an automobile accident, and she was, there was no hope for her. She had a head injury. He said, I went into the hospital, and she's all swollen, and there's no hope. But they were just old country folks, you know? I love country folks, but they were just old country folks, country farming people. And Jim said, it was about right before dark, he said, I've got to go back to the farm and do some things. And so Jim said he went back to, some of you don't know, milk the cow and slop the hogs and do the things that farmers in those days did. And Jim said he told me the story. He said, I went down to milk the cow, had my milk bucket, fixed to milk the cow, and set my milk bucket down. And I went in the stable and got down on my knees. I said, Lord, I need you to heal my wife. He said, the Lord said, will you give her to me? He said, I don't know. I'll have to think about that. Lord, help my unbelief. The simplicity and the humility of that. He said, I don't know, Lord, I'll have to think about it. This is what he said. Milk the cow. When he finished milking the cow, he said he went back in the stable, got down on his knees and said, Lord, I've been thinking about it. Whether she lives, whether she dies, she's yours. Got his milk bucket and went back to the house. Jim said, a couple of weeks, I'm standing in the kitchen of the parsonage and see a car drive up the driveway. The old man and his wife. Because when he got that word, God met him exactly where his faith was. Wow. Don't that encourage you? I mean, dear goodness me. Encourages me. And so I love the scripture. It's one of my favorite. We walk by faith and not by sight. Because what I see is subject to change. What I believe about this, there's one thing about all of us. We know this. We may change how we do things. We may change when we do things. But there's some things will never change. And this is it. It'll never change. The message is always the same. Thus says the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord, what an honor to just share my heart a little bit with such precious, hungry people. I pray for each of them, how precious they are. Lord, there's all of us have some struggle or another, but he that lives in us is bigger than he who lives in the world. And so, Lord, we're just asking for grace and strength. Lord, you moved on the Apostle Paul to pray for the church at Ephesus. And then, Lord, you know, because it's in your book, but I just pray it back to you. You told Paul to tell us to pray for the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation and the spirit of understanding. Lord, we know when the light goes on, understanding comes up. Rhema activates, and we have the ability to believe and receive. Thank you. I wonder, while every head is bowed, and matter of fact, I'm going to close my eyes. How many people here, and then we'll go home. How many people would you feel in your heart like the Father did when he said to Jesus, Lord, I believe, but I need help with my unbelief. Show me your grace. Show me your word. I need help with my unbelief. If that would be the cry of your heart, would you put your hand up? My eyes are closed. Would you put your hand up and put it back down? Let God see it. And I have no idea, but Lord, you do. For every hand that's been lifted, may we leave here tonight going, wow, he's going to help me where I don't believe, with truth and light and revelation and understanding, bringing the Logos to a Rhema dimension so I can believe. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We ask the prayer team maybe to come forward. Oh, Pastor's struggling with his knee there, but the prayer team, the chair, if you would come forward, any of you would like. You know, one of the things about what we're talking about is, you know, God meets you where you are. God meets you where your faith is, wherever it is. God, listen, God's not mad at you. That last time he got mad, I can tell you right now, it rained a long time. God's not mad at anybody. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He loves all of us. And so God will meet me where my faith is. My elder, Mike Lee, some of you know Mike, got cancer. And we love Mike. We're crying out to God, touch Mike. But, I knew we weren't getting anywhere. I called a meeting with Mike. I said, I need to talk to you. And let me ask you something. What are you believing? Because we can't pray but on what you're believing. He said, I believe I'll have to have surgery. I'll be cancer free. I announced that to the church. That's how we hooked up with where his faith was. That's where his faith was. Guess what? One day the phone rang. Guess who was on the other line? Mike Lee. He said, Doc, I just got back from the doctor. He says, I'm cancer free. You see, God will meet you where you are. And he loves you. And just starve your doubts, feed your faith. Just starve them to death. If you don't feed them, they'll just dry up and die. But feed your faith. Let God quicken his word to you. So if you need ministry, let us stand. And maybe we could sing a song, Pastor, and I'll turn it back over to you. And you want me to? So, okay. Let's sing something for just a minute. And anybody needs prayer, I'd love to pray with you. And I know any of these prayer warriors down here would love to pray with you about anything. There's one thing about it. Getting people to pray with you helps us each other. By that which every joint supplies, we grow up into the fullness of Christ. So go ahead, brother.
Your love higher than the mountains, your grace deeper than the sea, your mercy never ceases to amaze me. Day after love for me,
I would just invite you to come.
Your love is higher than the mountain. Your grace is deeper than the sea. Your mercy never to amaze me. Day after day, your love for me remains.
Would you lift your hands, please? Let's just receive the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord Jesus bless each one of you. May the Lord Jesus not only bless you, may he keep you. May he make his face shine on you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he overwhelm you with peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here. Say hello to somebody.